99.1, 92.3 is FM Talk.
There is. The name of the show is called The Weekend. It's live and local Saturday mornings, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter. In the studio with me is Chef Mark Silva is doing it again. And this will be the fourth annual First Responders Appreciation Dinner. Our wonderful first responders out there, the ambulance drivers and the paramedics, the my gosh, all uniforms.
That firemen, sheriffs,
firemen, sheriffs, that's right. And you put your heart and soul into this. You call up getting donations from all the companies for this, the food, the they spend all year putting this together. And it's coming up July 27th at the same American Legion that you and I were at last year. And it's going to be a little different this year. But I got to say, Chef Mark, just God bless you. Why do you do this massive undertaking every year for our local first responders? Why?
Well, because they deserve the respect. I mean, they don't ask any questions. They go out there, run towards the danger while everybody else is running away. And that's pretty special.
Did you have a personal experience with them?
Or? I did. The second annual party, 2 days after that, I was some equipment out in Verde, and I got on the highway and I hit ice and I spun around and I went backwards. I hit the middle and flipped over 3 or 4 times and landed in the westbound lanes. But when the paramedics and firemen showed up, somebody yelled out, "Chef Mark, don't worry, we got you. Dinner was great Saturday night."
Oh my!
So it was like I sat back and said, "Wow, this is why I do it."
Well, that was an encounter after you'd already been doing these dinners. So how did it begin in the first place? What contact did you have with a first responder to give you the idea to do this tribute?
Well, back a couple of years back when, before COVID, I think, up in Portland when those people took over that little city and everything and they blocked
it. You mean the street people?
Yeah, street people. They blocked it all off, and then somebody got shot in there, and the paramedics were trying to get in, and they were shooting at the paramedics. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
They're risking their lives to save somebody they don't even know, and they're shooting at them, trying to kill them. That's ridiculous.
I wonder how often that happens. I mean, not so much a huge protest, but when they encounter an unruly person who needs medical help.
And... Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it happens a lot. You know, I'm sure they go through a lot. I mean, they're brave. I mean, a lot of people can't do it. You know, just throw their bag in the truck and they head towards danger.
So the way I saw this when I was at your appreciation, first responders appreciation dinner last year, is that now first responders are busy people, and they come in different times over the 3 or 4 hours that the dinner is on. When they have time, they will make a few minutes to come out to your appreciation dinner for them.
Yeah, this year we're going to do it a little different. We're going to have one seating at 6 p.m., and we're just going to have a big dinner.
Well, you're going to need a big place for that, though.
Well, we can fit about 185.
185.
American Legion.
Now, the first responders, they don't reserve. They show up?
They show up, and a lot of times the firemen are working, so they'll come and they'll get to-go plates. So we'll set them up.
I saw that. I saw a lot of uniforms at that American Legion. Yeah. So what do you have for this year's appreciation dinner?
Well, we don't got the whole menu done, but we're going to do blueberry pork ribs. We're going to do lemon chicken. We're going to do Caesar salad and... bacon-wrapped shrimp over toasted crostini with balsamic vinaigrette over the top glaze. It's going to be good. And then we got a couple different bakeries, you know, bring pastries and stuff like that.
And what have you had the first responders say to you?
Oh, they appreciate it. I see the firemen in Safeway and Save Martin, and they're always like, "Chef Mark, that's a good feeling." It's a good feeling, you know, that you're doing something for people like that. I mean, it's great.
Well, nobody else is really put
together. I get a lot of help, though. I mean, you know, all businesses out there, I got about 55 businesses that help out. Some do a little and some do a lot.
Well, they help out because you put in so much effort. It's got to be a tough job calling businesses and asking for their donations.
Well, you got to go face to face. You got to look them in the eye, you know. I mean, they have no idea who you are. But the good thing is I followed through 3 years, you know, and this is the fourth year.
Let's give credit to those businesses. Which businesses have helped you out?
Oh, geez. Kenya's food truck restaurant is going to volunteer. Joe and Kelly and TSN gives me a refrigeration trailer so I can keep everything cold outside. Scoopers, they do product.
I love Scoopers.
Sierra Seafood, Model Dairy, Overhead Door, Butcher Boy, Reno Engravers, Jesse Salon up in Mayan. So if you want a good haircut, go see Jesse. Pizza Baron, Jimmy's Express Car Wash keeps all the oil changed in the truck. Julie Sign Shop puts the graphics on the side. Graphics Unlimited also puts graphics on the sign. I got to split it up a little bit, you know, because I don't have a 501c3. So I got to get a little bit here, a little bit there, and, you know, it works out. It's just a lot more work. Godfather's Pizza, Encore Beverage, Diggy Print, they're doing all our flyers. They're coming, they'll be done next week.
These are great business cards.
And Cintas.
Sounds like you put this together from scratch.
Really. I did. I just started doing it. And it just started coming together, you know. I follow through, you know, and I make it happen.
Well, last time you were on the radio show, we got talking about your credentials.
Mustang Ranch.
That's right. This guy was the chef at Mustang Ranch.
I was the hooker cooker.
The hooker what?
Cooker.
The hooker cooker is here, folks.
The hooker cooker.
So, oh my gosh, give me just one story about being a chef at the Mustang Ranch, keeping in mind that our boss is probably listening.
it was a good job. I mean, the ladies are nice, and you know, they eat pretty well.
Okay, well, that's about as far as we could go.
That's about as far as we're gonna go.
And what restaurants did you used to work in?
I worked in the Gold and Silver Inn. I worked at Gold Dust West, old Reno Hilton that was on Virginia Street back in the day.
Yes, yes. I worked there too when it was the Sahara. Yeah, I worked in.
It was the Sahara before.
It was the Prima Donna. Then it was the Sahara. Then Hilton took it over, and they called it the Flamingo.
The Flamingo, yeah.
And then there was the Golden Phoenix. And now what is it? Oh, my gosh.
Now it's like Spiro's or something.
Yeah.
It's like a little casino.
Yeah, they cut it in portions there. Yeah, it was Sahara. That was me.
I usually don't go downtown.
Usually don't?
No, it's too crowded.
It is not.
I'll go over to Boomtown.
Oh, come on. You think downtown's crowded? Go to Vegas. It's a madhouse. It just stresses me out. And I was telling Dean from the Carson City Nugget, we don't know how good we have it here. Yeah. There's no charging for parking in the garages there and stuff. There's some great food there.
Yeah, I haven't been to Vegas since, 1995.
It's like L.A. now.
I know. I think when I went there, you drove right down the strip.
Yeah.
Right through, and now they got a highway that goes around. Right.
So you were chef at the Gold and Silver. I don't know. I hear back and forth. Is it going to stay open? Is it closing? I think it's staying open, isn't it?
It's staying open. I think they're going to remodel it. Jeff's out of it now, though. He was.
Jeff is out, and Jacobs is taking it took it over, right?
Entertainment, yeah.
Okay.
The Old Sands. They got the whole block, actually. It looks really good.
I went to the J Resort 2 weeks ago, and I think it's called Hattie's Diner. Very nice, and they have a weekend happy hour, and the bartender came to our table, and it was a great experience.
What'd you order?
Manhattan.
Was it good?
Good.
They have a steakhouse now, too.
Yeah, and it's starting to get busy there, which I'm very happy to see. You miss the restaurant business? It's different now, isn't it?
It's different now, yeah. Back in the day, I mean... it's different.
I'll tell you how different, because in the 70s, you'd run into, like, I knew a personal friend who worked at Harold's. He was a slot supervisor, and the minute he'd see me, he'd pull out the little pad, and he'd write up a comp for me to go up, presidential car or the 24-hour Chinese restaurant, and they don't do that stuff anymore.
You got those little players cards when you were VIP.
You gotta work for it now.
Yeah, when you were VIP back then, like the Peppermill, I used to come up back in '85 and so forth.
Yeah,
and they just the pit boss
Right up the comp. Yep. Didn't even have to gamble.
Yeah. Now it's all corporate. Now, yeah. All like structured.
Well, you were working the restaurants in the glory years for sure. And you're never going to leave Reno. And you are Mr. Reno Community.
Yeah, so we need volunteers. We need more donations. We need food products. Anybody that can help us, we totally appreciate it. And
how can they contact you, Chef Mark?
Well, they can chefsilvaypc@gmail.com or 775-420-6567.
Okay, let me get that. Chef Silva what?
YPC.
Chef Silva YPC.
Your personal chef.
Oh, okay.
@gmail.com.
Was that a private company of yours, your personal chef?
Yeah. It's a hobby business back in the day.
Oh, you don't do it anymore?
I do, but my health is kind of hurting, so.
Sure.
My heart and my health. I got in that accident, flipped a car over on the highway.
Yeah.
So, I'll do a little dinner party for up to 8 people or something like that, but I don't do the big thing anymore.
All right.
Because you got to get a bunch of staff.
Well, God bless you. I know this isn't an easy job to do to put this all together, but this is for the entire first responders community in Northern Nevada that you do this for. Over, what, you said 180 it seats?
185, we can see it. 185 is the capacity.
One more thing. Something's different this year. You're doing awards.
There'll be a billboard up on the highway, too. Not sure where, but probably on Highway 80. Last year it was at Greg and McCarran. But we're doing awards. We're picking somebody from the Sheriff's Department, Nevada Troopers, Reno, Sparks PD, Fire Departments, REMSA, somebody that went above and beyond the call of duty. And
you're letting the agencies pick the winners of this?
Yeah, and we're going to make a trophy, a glass trophy. Reno Engravers is going to do that and make a trophy with what they did, the date and everything, and we're going to award it to them at the dinner.
Well, it looks like another winner you have coming up there. Yeah. Once again, folks, July 27th, 4th annual, First Responders Appreciation Dinner. Now, for a person who's not a first responder, how can they partake of this?
Well, they can call me.
Volunteers?
Yeah. Volunteer. We need volunteers, yeah. And if you have any, first responder relatives or somebody in the family, bring them along.
Yeah, from what I saw when I was there last year, you had the volunteers serving drinks, trays out, dishes out, things like that.
A lot of volunteers.
Getting to talk to the folks, and it's wonderful, Chef Mark. And thank you for taking the time.
And we got live music.
You got live music.
Live music and a raffle, silent auction.
Oh my gosh, that's hard work too, getting the silent auction donations.
Yeah, well, Donna takes care of all that. Remember,
well,
Donna?
You're a hero, sir. folks, once again, if you'd like to volunteer, chefsilvaypc.com.
@gmail.com.
Oh, I'm sorry, @gmail.com. Is his email. All right, sir. Well, all right.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, my friend.
And
thank
all those
you.
Businesses out there that help me.
All right. Bravo. It's a wonderful town we live in. John Potter here, back in a few. 884-9910, the number on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. We'll take a break. FM News Talk time, 1119.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Hello, friends. John Potter. Beautiful day for a radio show. 884-9910, our number to call on the weekend. That's live and local every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. How come, speaking of food and all like we were, how come you never see department store mannequins with potbellies? When is the fashion industry going to start thinking about us? I can't relate to these flat stomach stiffs. And if you can't leave us beer bellies shirtless, we need like a male maternity mannequin. I think that would work. Okay, in the news, President Biden's Department of Justice sued Apple. This was on Thursday. Attorney General Merrick Garland said Apple undermines apps, products, and services that would otherwise make users less reliant on the iPhone. Lawsuit also points out that iPhone users can't send secure messages, iMessages, to Android users, are restricted from innovative apps that are not Apple, and iPhone users can only use Apple Pay for tap-to-pay services. They say Apple stops the development of cross-platform like Apple to Android apps. And if you go from Apple to Android, you can't access your iCloud music library on Android. You can't use iMessage and FaceTime or anything else tied to your Apple ID on a non-Apple phone. My wife and I found that out when we switched to Android about 6 years ago. We were a little surprised at that, but we're kind of dumb about those things. So anyway, I don't know much about that, so I'll shut up. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910. It's Joe calling from Sparks, and this is a topic that I brought up at 9 o'clock this morning, the story about the shooting at the dog park at Rancho San Rafael. Good morning, Joe. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy your show. Hey, John, Roseville has a very unique dog park where they separate the dogs according to sizes. So it's 20 and under, 20 pounds and under. And then the big dogs have a gigantic park. But there's a little park for the smaller dogs. And I'm there one morning. I have a boot on because I had a ruptured Achilles tendon. And I'm there with my little Bichons. I had two of them at the time. And I hear a scream, and I turn around, and a lady's bending over. She's out in the middle of this little grassy area trying to separate these two dogs. And another woman runs up, kind of, if I had to describe her, she was husky. And she punches this woman right in the head. I mean, just a good right cross. Looked like Tyson, maybe. And she knocks her down, and the woman goes to get up. And then in the meantime, four or five gentlemen who are in the park run over there to grab this woman who's assaulting them. And by the time they grab her, she's screaming that she's a sworn sheriff, and they're all going to be charged with felony assault or something. But in the meantime, they get her down on the ground, and they literally have to sit on her to hold her down.
Now, wait a minute, Joe. This is part of the shooting story, then. This is a separate incident?
Oh, this is a separate incident. Yeah, I wasn't at the shooting.
Okay.
I wish I was there, but I wasn't.
Well, from what I hear from what you say there, this is yet another reason why I avoid, at all costs, dog parks.
This place was just wonderful. Everybody who was there, this is the one exception to all the 100 times I'd been in the dog park. So now they got her on the ground, and she's saying everybody's going to jail for assaulting an officer and everything. When the Roseville police show up, they have to restrain her and put handcuffs on her to get her in the car. She's totally out of her mind. And come to find out, she was a sheriff for Sacramento County.
Oh, you're talking, okay. So we're talking Roseville here. We're not talking Reno.
Yeah. No, we're not talking Reno.
All right.
But anyway, I'm telling you, if you were there, you would just be amazed on how this woman, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if they let her go and she goes to her car, she's probably got a gun. We're all going to be killed because she was out of her mind. I mean, and I'm thinking, how could they have an officer who has this kind of, I don't know, disposition or, and it was just amazing. I mean, just talking about it.
Yeah, I can tell you're a little emotional by your voice. Was she in full uniform and everything?
No. She wasn't in uniform. If she was in uniform, I don't know what they would have done. She probably would have been wearing the gun, you know.
So how did this end, Joe?
Well, they took her away, the sheriff. I mean, the Roseville police. It wasn't the Roseville sheriff, mm-hmm. or Placer County sheriff. They took her away, and they left somebody there to take a report. And they said, don't worry about it. You're not going to be charged with anything, you know. But I never found out what happened to her after that. I don't know what happened.
I wish I knew.
But I have a grandson who's a first responder, and he was new in what they call the firehouse. So whenever they needed an extra person on the ambulance, they take the youngest guy and they put him because he was an EMT too. And they're flying down, I think it was El Dorado Boulevard, one of the famous places in the South area, Bay Area, and a guy decides that since everybody pulled over and stopped, he would just go ahead and go right through the green light, and he broadsided the ambulance doing about 55 miles an hour. It turned over three times. They had a woman in the back who they brought back from a heart problem, and they were rushing her to the hospital. She died, but my grandson was in the back, and he hit the cabinet with his head in it. Just a tremendous cut on the side of his, just above his ear. Oh, and after the accident, he took care of everybody who was hurt. And he actually made the national news. The story was shown on the national news.
And okay. Well, I'm glad you called. You were obviously inspired by Chef Mark and what he's going to be doing for the first responders in this area, and another example of what first responders have to deal with, even though it's out of town. I got to run, Joe. Thank you so much for the account there. I was my reference to Rancho San Rafael Dog Park was the shooting there, where one dog was killed over a dog fight. The man brought his unleashed Shih Tzu dog to the park. It got into a fight with a leashed Rottweiler. The owner of the little dog reacted by shooting the Rottweiler, killing it. And as of now, no charges have been filed or are planned related to the shooting, according to Animal Services and the Washoe County Sheriff's Office. And I think that's one reason so many people are up in arms about this. I want to hear what you folks have to say. You know, I'm going to say very little about it because, to be honest, I was not there when this happened, so I know very little about it. Maybe you know more. Maybe you were there at the scene. I would be honored to have you call in on the show, 884-9910, call or text, or maybe just tell us how you feel about it. It's all live and local. That's what this is, Saturday mornings. I'm John Potter, going to break for Fox News on 99.1 and 92.3. FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1131.
Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
The Weekend is the name of the show, and yes, it is live and local. I'm John Potter, and from Carson City, he's there. The microphone is hot, and it's Jerry Evans joining us. Hey, Jerry, how's it going?
Hello, hello. Hey, Greg. I can't hear John unless John can hear me.
Wow, it's the voice of God, it sounds like.
Echo at all.
I like that sound. I want to sound like that.
Yeah, you know what I should do is actually hold my phone up to the radio and turn it up as loud as I can.
Jerry's going to be, there he is again. Hey, Jerry. What do you think, Craig?
I think that we have a technical issue to work out, and if Jerry could call in on our sure. Phone number, I'll put him right on with you.
It's that darn Brinklin. What? I don't know what that is. And anybody else can call in and join us too, 884-9910. Something we haven't seen on the TV news much, but it happened on Thursday, and maybe you did see it, and that is the organized group of over 100 migrants trying to enter the U.S. illegally by rushing a border law. Maybe Jerry has something to say about that. Okay, now we have them hooked up on the phone.
You know, I think the internet is the creation of Satan. hey, I thought I'd give you a quiz this morning, but also I would also suggest that somebody, if you're concerned about flying, I'm going to be flying next month, but if you're concerned about flying in any way, shape, or form with all these accidents and failures of Boeing, is to, again, go to YouTube and look up Biden's nominee as the administrator of the FAA, the person in charge of our airspace, basically regulating aircraft and airspace. Philip Washington is his name, and he is what could be honestly referred to as a DEI hire if he gets through. And if he gets through, you know, blame the Republicans, and the Democrats are always going to do what they're going to do, but blame the Republicans. The guy He cannot even answer a simple question like how much space is supposed to be between an airplane taking off and an airplane landing. I kid you not. Every question asked of him, he could not answer. I don't believe he graduated high school. He did serve in the military. He was working at the Denver airport, but that's the FAA administrator, Philip Washington, and that's worth your 3 or 4 minutes to see what kind of people are basically running our bureaucratic institutions, and the FAA being one of those. But I'm going to give you a quiz first.
Yes.
And unless you want to ask me a question about Philip
Washington.
Well,
no, I was going to say
just go watch it.
I was going to say about that guy, I don't know about this FAA guy, but listen, we got Mayor Pete, the former mayor of Terre Haute, Indiana, in charge of the entire Department of Transportation. And so it's, I guess, not too surprising to hear about the FAA guy. But anyway, yeah. I want to hear the quiz.
Diversity, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so who would vote for, this is a Democrat or Republican, who would vote for a bill right now with the debt that we have right now? Who would vote for a bill that provides, this doesn't sound like much at all, pocket change, pennies, $156,000 for the Hartford Gay and Lesbian Health Collective, an organization self-described as champions of LGBTQIA equity, and provides training and cultural competency and access to health care for LGBTQ. Now, why they left out the IA, I don't know, but youth. Democrat or Republican, John?
Oh, well, Democrat, but you know what? This sounds like, sad to say, some very typical pork things, Jerry. Are these pork things that were in the latest spending bill that Congress just approved?
Congress and I won't even tell you, but I'd suggest people go and look and see how your Republican second district representative voted on this particular bill. But let me just point out a couple.
Okay. How did Mr. Amadei vote?
Well, again, that's do your homework. $2 million for an Oregon clinic that provides hormone therapy for kids. $850,000 for gay senior housing in Massachusetts. $400,000 for the Briar Patch Youth Services in Wisconsin that has a gender-affirming clothing program. Sorry to laugh. For kids 13 to 18, or $400,000 to the Garden State of Quality Education Fund, which helps minors transition genders, promote biological boys playing girls sports, and using the same restrooms. Border security or border insecurity is basically what we've got now. Let's see how much money was there for our border. Okay, here's something border-wise. $500 million for Jordan, the country, Jordan, in the Middle East. $150 million for border security in Jordan. $125 million to help Egyptians attend college in Egypt.
Well, I am partial to the gay seniors in Massachusetts, I will say. But everything else you say, Jerry, is
that much I knew, but...
The rest of it doesn't shock us. My God, when you look at Ukraine, that's trillions of dollars right there that we're getting up to. Look around us, man. The teachers need more money, this and that, and it drives me nuts. Thanks for the good news.
The teachers need more money so they can keep producing the stuff that comes out of our schools these days. But again, we keep putting up with it. I invite people to go and just check voting records, in particular for Republicans that voted that. There were 25 senators in the Republican senators that voted for that bill as well. Look at your House Representative Mark Amadei. See how he voted on that, and enjoy the laugh you'll get watching Philip Washington being questioned about a certain FAA aspects and flying aspects, and that would be the person that's in charge of our airspace. And I think that's worth a good laugh some evening.
Well, there you go. Jerry's given us all homework. Thank you, Jerry, for that insightful, eye-opening, for sure. It's almost sickening news about our money.
Oh, yeah. One last thing. Just that you can rest assured on this. $1 million for the inner city Muslim network, which calls for the destruction of Israel. That's in that bill as well.
That's sickening. That's a damn shame.
Yeah. All right. Well, try to brighten up the rest of the show. I'm sure you will.
Yes. Keep fighting a good fight, Mr. Evans. Yeah. Sick 'em. All right. Thank you, Jerry. We're going to take one more break and be back for a final segment. Open lines, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Back in a few on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1145.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
It's the weekend, the name of the show, and yes, it's live and local. I'm John Potter. We did find out how our Northern Nevada representative in Congress, Mark Amadei, voted on that spending bill that had all those wonderful things that Jerry Evans was just telling us about. I sicked my producer on finding out how Mr. Amadei voted. Did he vote for this spending bill, Craig Moss?
I'm in the middle of confirming it at this moment in time.
All right. We hear that the answer is yes, that Mr. Amadei voted for that spending bill, which had all those bizarre things that Jerry found out was in this spending bill. Our Republican representative. So what are you going to do? What are you going to vote for the Democrat opponent? I mean, this upcoming election is the ultimate holding your nose when you are in the voting booth in so many ways. All across the board, it's an election day that I dread. Anyway, and we brought up the illegals before, and I brought it up because it's something we have not seen on the TV news. What happened on Thursday, an organized group of over 100 migrants tried to enter the U.S. illegally by rushing a border wall, violently breaking through razor wire and knocking over guards. I bring this up because it wasn't on the network news. You really have to hunt to find the video. Witnesses saw about 600 migrants massed at the international border as part of a spring surge of migrants hoping to gain access to the U.S. The situation grew tense when the Texas National Guard tried to move them into smaller groups, and video then showed one set of migrants, mostly single men, rushing the Texas troops. A group of men wearing hoodies could be seen pulling fencing away and dashing through, knocking down National Guard soldiers as the mob rushed a border wall in El Paso, Texas. Some scrambled through, with some coming through the guards' legs and knocking them out of the way. Some migrants were arrested, and the rest of the people in the group were brought into the U.S. for processing. They'll definitely follow the rules once they get here. Traffic laws and proper etiquette. I'm sure they'll buy plenty of car insurance. But anyway, you'll see the video on social media. Interesting how it did not make the network TV news. It's tough to see the National Guardsmen so overwhelmed, uniformed soldiers in front of this group. Be damned. First of all, if you're not going to stop them, then don't be there and don't pretend that you are there. Right? If you are going to stop them, stop them. The guardsmen were there, but honestly, they were guys in G.I. Joe suits wearing protective vests, but you had none of them armed. You didn't even have any crowd control tools like batons. I know that, at least historically, soldiers are trained on how to do a formation, how to use batons, and how to direct or resist the onslaught of a crowd of people. These Army National Guardsmen down there, they had no batons. They did not at any point give a response or command. They were just standing there, and they were quickly, physically overwhelmed. If you see the video, while they're storming over the fence, you even see one guardsman pull another guardsman back, like, hey, man, we're not allowed to touch these people. We're just here to show up in uniforms. Our military looked like a joke. And the cartels, they look at that and they laugh in our face. And my thought is, if you're not going to defend a line, don't draw it. And if you do draw it, you must defend it. In this instance, against the crowd, all of whom shortly thereafter filled out the paperwork and are now free in our country as asylum seekers, defended by any number of our politicians. And if you're bothered by them overpowering our soldiers and using violence to get into our country, that's because you're a racist. You know, in this situation, our first experience with this group of people now in the United States is ignoring the rule of law, violently challenging authority, and physically overwhelming soldiers of the United States. None of that bodes well for their future time in our country, and none of that bodes well for law and order and safety on the streets of America. And yes, it's a live and local show. Well, this, I'm sure we're getting many of them coming into Nevada, so I consider this a local concern. And it bothers me that our media, the TV news, the network channels, don't give this any airtime. And unfortunately, that's where most Americans get their news. Well, no, we got to go to social media to see this kind of stuff. So very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Right. We have a confirmation from Jerry, our crack research team, that Congressman Amade did vote for this bill.
Well, now I need a drink. The show started off so much fun. All right. Well, thank you. Do you have any good news, Craig?
Let's see. What do I have good news? Oh,
well. The weather,
it's actually looking beautiful out there right now.
I'm looking out,
I'm seeing very scattered clouds or very, very thin high clouds. But down here, I think I
don't know. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Oh, wait, it's going to be freezing tomorrow.
Overnight. Yeah, overnight, 30 degrees.
The weather isn't helping us. And I was planning a camping trip. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hey, John.
And, yeah.
You know, you have to do things at the spur of a moment. You can't plan them. When you plan them is when the weatherman finds out and changes your weather forecast.
Yes.
You know that. You did that before.
Yes, folks, it was my fault. I put up a tent, and now the weather is turning bad. 60s are over.
I wash my car, and it rains.
Yeah. Well, high of 47 in Reno today. Tomato people, I'm sorry. We're getting down to below freezing tomorrow night.
Cover them up.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. I hate it. But you know what? I've lived here most of my life, and every single year I fall for this false spring so bad. The 40-some years in Nevada, and the Reno false spring still gets me. The spring of deception.
Yeah, somebody ought to take that Punxsutawney Phil out and hide him somewhere. Because he lied.
He lied, yeah. Now we get spring freeze, Easter snowsies. You know, every darn year it's, yay, my plants are sprouting and there's frost. So now we have to dig out our sweaters and coats again. A smart guy I know, he keeps that stuff out till July because he remembers that June day in Reno in June when it got down to 25 overnight.
When I was growing up, I was 4 years older, 5 years older than my sister. We could always count on the 30th and the 31st of July, hail. For seven straight years, hail. So we never planned her birthday on her birthday because hers was the 31st of July, but it was every time it was hail or thunderstorms leading to some hail. But yeah,
well, that means something to about her. I don't know.
But anyway. Yeah.
I remember in 1995, I remember the year we had a layer of snow, 0.2 inches, I think they measured in Reno, and that was in June.
Yeah.
In 1995.
I've seen it in recently, probably, 15 years ago? So about 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to two old guys on the radio, folks.
So exactly. Who are trying to fill the last 45 seconds of the show.
And you know what? Last year here, it snowed in May.
Right.
So,
well, look at the ski resorts. I mean, we had ski resorts that stayed open through the 4th of July weekend last year.
Well, listen, we should get our 1 month of summer. Okay. So, newcomers, you'll get used to it. That's all I've ever known. That's
you thought you were moving to the warm weather, but we're not Vegas.
It's a love-hate relationship with the weather.
Yep.
I had fun. I don't know about you. Thank you. Craig got that Brinklin working. That was awesome. I'll see you folks next Saturday. I'm John Potter on 99.1 FM Talk.